Toyota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. This burger I had is, it's not bad. Our listeners put me on Bubba's Burger Shack. I think it's Bubba's Burger Shack. The one over here under the freeway.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not done with it yet. If you want to bite.
The one on right South Rice near Chick-fil-A?
It's on the other, it's like, it's not quite on the other side of the highway, but it's on the other side of the highway. Yeah. Like, you have to turn, you have to go under the highway to get there. Okay. But it's pretty close to
yeah,
us.
Like yeah, like South Rice and West Park, right?
That's, I don't know street names, man.
Okay.
I
it's by the Chick-fil-A and the Canes? There.
I have incredible
I
sense
right
of direction.
Behind the Shell station. Regardless, it's real close.
Yeah, it's very close.
I've heard it. Anyway, I've heard it recommended as well, so it passed the test.
Our listeners put us on it. So I told the listeners, hey, I'm going to try it for you guys, and I'll let you know what I think. It is the messiest burger I've ever had. That's not a bad thing. I'm just letting you know it's a bit messy, so know what you're getting into. Maybe wear your painting clothes if you're going to go to Bubba's Burger Shack. Don't wear your nice stuff. Don't wear your white shirts. Don't wear your white sneakers. Make sure that, you bring some clothes. You aren't scared to get a little dirty. It's pretty good. I don't know if I would put it top five in Houston. Top 10-ish.
Top five is a tough crack. Top 10-ish. List to crack, yeah.
I love Champ's Burger. Champ's Burger is pretty elite. What's the place downstairs, Brian? The Clutch City place?
Clutch City Grill and Burger Chan both downstairs
Hot
are
take.
Both great. Chan,
yeah. Hot take. I like Clutch City more than Burger Chan. Hot take.
I don't know if I could go with you there, but they're both great.
I still haven't done the Bun B burger. Haven't done that one yet.
Also very good, yeah.
But I wouldn't call this one top five, the Burger Shack, but I'd call it top 10-ish. I would call it second tier. Second tier burger, which sounds disrespectful. I'm not trying to disrespect the burger because it is very good. I just wouldn't put it on the elite tier. It's a second tier from elite. Like, it's the Jalen Green tier, I think.
Does the actual patty make it elite?
I got two patties. Which one?
I'm just saying, but the amount.
That was bad. That was a really bad one.
The patty you get, is that the deciding factor and the quality
of
it?
No, it's the taste. I care more about the taste. Now meat to bun ratio is important. Meat to bun B ratio is important whenever you go to the
bun B
place.
You're on a roll
today. This one's good.
Is it more of a smash burger or a traditional burger?
No, it's more traditional.
Okay.
It's almost like a Whataburger patty. Not talking about taste, but talking about like the
right.
The look, the cosmetic of the burger.
I agree with you. Fajitas to me are the same way. Like how they're prepared and how and the grill that they use matters. I like for that very reason, I think that Lupe Tortillas uses like that flame grilled fajita meat.
Well, they need a good sear. I think both burgers and fajitas both need a good sear.
I like a good sear. Yeah, I'm a big sear guy. Miller's Cafe was good. Langford Grocer. I've had the Langford Grocer, but it's been a long time.
I have too. And when I had it the one time, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember it being very good. Now, their burgers are massive. Mm-hmm. The Langford Grocer's burgers are the biggest
I've
ever seen.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, I like a good big burger. Virginia is asking me, did I do the beef or the buffalo? Because you can do beef or buffalo there.
Oh, really?
No, it's not buffalo. It's bison. Okay. Which is kind of the same thing, I guess.
What's the difference?
That's supposed to be more lean.
It is leaner.
Okay.
I prefer the beef. I got the beef. I can do a bison burger, but I prefer the beef. So I went with the beef. That's what I did. How do you feel about April Fool's, by the way? Today's April Fool's Day.
Not a fan.
Yeah, we're not going to do any April Fool's stuff on this show. Killer Bees are mature and professional.
I absolutely don't believe you, and I will...
No, we're not doing any April Fool's stuff.
Okay, we'll see.
I did something on Twitter, and that's enough for me.
Okay.
I actually stay off Twitter a lot on April Fool's. Not because I'm going to fall for it. I just think it's stupid, and I don't want to see it. That's why I did one earlier. no, but we're not. No, we're too professional. Killer Bees have zero fun. We're buttoned up. We're professional. We're pros. We don't mess with
zero people. Fun, sir.
That's what we're going to do today. We're going to have no fun today. No April Fool's stuff. If this is your safe space for April Fool's,
I just feel like
I don't believe
Hope
you
will,
for a half I
wouldn't
second.
Lead the I wouldn't
yes,
lead the show
would.
And say we're not going to do it and then be like let's do it. Yes. Like I've already called it to attention.
Yes,
like
you
if
would.
I was going to pull an April Fool's joke, I wouldn't call it to attention.
I may not know you in a lot of ways, but I know you enough to know that I don't believe a word you just said.
I promise you.
Okay.
I promise what? You. And
that's,
I hang my hat on my word.
That's a big one, Joel.
I mean, I might be silly and goofy like I normally am, but I'm not going to try to pull a fast one on
I
you
believe
guys.
Him. I
not.
Believe him,
I don't like April Fool's
well,
jokes.
Well, that doesn't give
much.
Me any kind of backup what? That I needed either. You side with him on everything.
Oh, please.
The fact that that's
you,
not
that
true.
Is,
that is
the,
you believe
that
him
is,
means nothing
That is the
to me.
Worst take you've
like,
ever
we,
given.
We need to have a little, what is it called whenever you sit somebody down and you have an intervention? We
yes.
need to have an intervention with that opinion that you have that we always agree. We literally disagree on the fundamentals of the English language.
In parking.
We disagree.
Parking, I was going to say, is one thing.
Of the three of us, I think Brian and I disagree more than any combination of the three of us.
I think so.
Yeah, I think I believe it, that is the case.
I don't
Do you agree?
So. No, I don't.
I guess we're going to have to start tracking these things.
Yeah, we're going to track.
That's another thing
scoreboard.
For the bottom of the document that we need to
yeah,
keep
we'll
track
have to
of.
Track.
No, we need to whiteboard it like they used to do on, was it Pardon the Interruption?
Yeah.
No, it was Around the Horn.
Yeah, Around the Horn. You're right.
I always
right.
get them confused. Yeah, we need to have a little whiteboard that keeps track of all of our bets. We need a whiteboard that keeps track of all of our arguments. We need a, you know, who's banned from texting us for the remainder of the day. Mm. Which, who got banned yesterday? Tyler and Conroe. Welcome back, Tyler
yesterday.
And Conroe.
You banned Brian, too. That doesn't really count.
Brian,
yeah,
he didn't honor it.
Plus
he didn't honor the ban.
I was going to say, there's nothing holding him back. That's not going to stand.
He disrespected
the
ban.
Microphone on, yeah.
He doesn't respect bans, is what I learned from
He's
Brian yesterday.
He's like the
yesterday.
Kool-Aid pitcher. You can say you can't come in here and, oh, yeah.
similar body types.
Oh, jeez.
Who's got the better voice? You were the
probably
Kool-Aid,
Kool-Aid
man. Kool-Aid
yeah.
man was, he was
yeah.
cooler.
He did it with some authority.
Kool-Aid man was pretty cool. Yeah. You, on the other hand.
Not as cool.
Not
yeah.
bad. Astros lost yesterday yeah. to the Giants. They got their lunch handed to them a little bit. They made it a game there in the eighth inning. Isak Paredes with that two RBI double cut the lead to three. It's like, okay, you know, you got a puncher's chance here in the ninth. At least force the closer for San Francisco to come into the game. You know, a series is a war. You know, you don't care so much about the battle if you win the war. But then Rafael Montero came into the game, and he should have been out of it. Should have been out of things. Couldn't get out of it. Ended up putting Giants put a couple more runs on the board and really put the game away there. Astros lose the opener against the Giants 7-2. How'd you think things played out for the Stros, Blankers?
Yeah, I was kind of apprehensive going into the game that Blanco, with all the conversation we've had about as good as he was, the way he started the year for the Astros, the way he kind of petered out at the end, you're like, which Blanco are we going to get? Didn't have a great spring. He pitched okay. He pitched okay, but of course he's always going to have his pitch count very high. And he made a couple mistakes. And boy, the fielding, it's like he had Fromber disease on the mound with his decisions fielding. But I thought, well, you know, they got a shot. But the problem is this isn't last year or the last several years Astros teams, and they're not hitting for power, and they're not doing the kind of things offensively that we're used to seeing. So when they gave up the three-run bomb, I was like, basically, this one's over.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was out of reach. I'm glad they scratched a couple across the board. I'm glad Paredes got a hit. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, this ain't going to get close.
Yeah, I thought Blanco was mostly okay in yesterday's game. I thought he was fine. Contreras might find himself in AAA again soon. And not really like a fault to his, but there's a reason they kept Contreras, because he had options. And whenever one of these relievers that they wanted on the roster, Caleb Ort or Forrest Whitley, is good to go, Contreras and even Gusto are probably the yeah. – not even probably, they are. Contreras and Gusto are the two guys that will be optioned down. Although I am curious how long of a leash Rafael Montero is going
to
have.
Well, that one, to me, made my stomach sick just thinking about the fact that he was coming back. Although, you know, he did them a solid by being sent down and then coming back up. But if this is the same Rafael Montero, I don't have the same patience level that I had when he was making all that money to try and find some good out of him. I'm done. And I think that the quicker that Orton and Whitley can get back, the better. I agree with you on Contreras. I think Gusto's going to be a guy that they want to stretch out anyway as a starter potentially. Mm-hmm. So as good as we were talking about yesterday coming out off of the opening series with the Mets, that the middle relievers were, last night I was like, oh boy, I think they still got some work to do.
Yeah, the thing that concerned me the most about Blanco wasn't the he I thought he pitched pretty good. I thought that was the Ronel Blanco that you're normally going to see, that we saw a lot last year. I know 3 runs in 5 innings isn't the best thing in the world, but I was pretty impressed with what I saw. Now, the thing that disturbed me and the thing that concerns me. Do you see how aggressive San Francisco was trying to steal second against him? It's like, okay, Rennell, like, you got to hold runners on, man. Like, you got to be a little quicker to the plate. Because if you're going to give up a single or a walk and you just, hey, the runner at first base, you're turning these little, you know, small, I don't want to call them meaningless, but, you know, can be very minute. Like, two out single, two out walk. Okay, runner at first, two outs, no big deal. But if that's turning into a double because they're going to be super aggressive with you, now you're going to be pitching out of trouble the entire game. Now you're going to have runners in scoring position against you all game. And when they made the bases bigger, I thought that that really hurt Christian Javier because they were running at will against Christian Javier because his move to first was terrible and he was very slow to the plate. I was seeing some of that yesterday with Blanco, where San Francisco, anytime they had a decent runner at first base, Matt Chapman stealing second base, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, that's bad.
So Brunell's got to clean that up because these hits that are, you know, two out singles, two out walks, they can't be turning into doubles. And then suddenly a non-scary inning turns into now you got a stressful situation. You got a clutch situation.
Yeah, no. And I think that, again, because the offense is structured differently, at least for right now, and they only could muster three hits anyway. Like every run matters more because your offense is trying to find its way. And those little things become big things that he really has to concentrate on. It's like we said, Arrighetti learned his lesson with the fact that once he looked a runner back at third, if he still lollipops one to first and you got a fast runner, you can get burned. And so you're not going to do that again. But I think that he's got to learn that, you know, he's got to make some kind of adjustments out of the stretch so that it doesn't take him an hour to get it to the plate and that he pays more attention to the guys at first base. That's a key. And his fielding to me was something that really frustrated me because I thought the one ball was definitely going to go foul. I thought it had enough spin on it that and was going to catch the lip of the grass possibly, but I thought it would roll past the line. So now you put yourself in a first and third situation. And when you get a guy that everybody's telling you is going, you step off so you can go to either base, and he just adamantly went to first base without even kind of even hardly looking, and you give up another base there.
Yeah, he would have balked if he didn't go to first, though. He got handcuffed. Like he got caught in between. That back foot, that anchor foot didn't go past, like didn't cross the rubber.
But I also think if he'd have stepped off,
I think he got handcuffed.
Yeah.
I think
he steps off, he can go to either base.
Yeah.
But like you said, because he went with a move towards first that looked like it was clearly a move to first base, now you're screwed. You got to go that way.
Yeah. I think he got caught in between. In a perfect world, 100% step off. I think he got caught in between and like, oh, no, the only place I can go is to first. And if you do that, you have no chance. Mm-hmm. That's just something I'm going to be keeping my eye on with Blanco because I thought San Francisco was super aggressive against him. And that might be the game plan on him because he's not a guy who gives up a lot of hits. Last year, didn't he lead the American League in opponent batting average? Like, yeah. It's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. So if you have a guy that you're facing that's like that, and then all of a sudden you get a runner at first base, okay, like let's try to steal second. Let's try to get a runner in scoring position, knowing that it's going to be hard to get hits off of them. So something I'm paying attention to. I thought it killed Christian Javier last year before the injury because he wasn't producing like the Christian Javier of the past. And I think that was a big reason why. Because anytime there's a runner at first, okay, well, now he's at second. Because that's how willing they were to be aggressive on the bases. So, going to watch that. Let's talk about the offense when we come back. We'll get your thoughts on the Astros game yesterday as well. Losing to the Justin Verlander-led San Francisco Giants, game one of the three-game series. 713-780-ESPN. We have a busy show. Brian went rogue and scheduled the Duke play-by-play guy at 345. Have you never seen Anchorman? Like, it's a rival. Like, I don't want to talk to that dude.
I mean, we literally did that all football season.
A little different. The Texans don't pay me a check.
Okay. I mean, that is a fair difference.
I root for the Texans, but I don't root for the Texans as much as I root for the Cougars.
Use it as a chance to get enemy intel.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to give that. Yeah, thanks for booking him. That's coming up at 3:45. We'll dive into the Rockets in Hollywood yesterday. We'll talk some Cougar basketball history. We didn't have time to get to it yesterday. But D'Amico Ryan's sound, Twitcher, sorry, we April Fool's you a day too early. But if we get to it, we'll give you some D'Amico sound. Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday, because we didn't get to that yesterday either. We really didn't do what we were told. And Lance Zierlein's got a new mock. We mock Lance's mock. 713-780-3776. Busy show, as you can tell. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're transitioning off of Twitch. We're not going to be there in May, so make sure you get over there to YouTube. We're also on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man. Joel, Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
God, we should just put all the dumb people in a... Just put them in one state. And just
well,
says,
somebody
I'm
got
tired it. Of these dummies.
What
I kept using it because I thought it was a skin irritation.
What are you could get diarrhea. Oh, yeah, what is diarrhea? What, when you poop soup, honestly.
Listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
YouTube Key says, ooh, I don't want the Twitch people over here. We're making the transition. Going to start in May. The Twitchers aren't happy about this. They're like, well, I guess I have to listen to iHeartRadio now. King of Twitch says, I guess we'll have to go to Dallas Sports Radio. I mean, you guys do what you guys want to got to do. We'd love to have you over on YouTube. We stream. We're on Twitter every day, too, at ESPN975. But, you know, there's other ways to watch us other than Twitch. You don't have to, you know, get your undergarments in a wad, Twitchers. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Other ways to find us.
I feel bad.
Now, I do want their names to be better. Because some of you Twitchers, some of your names are awful, terrible. Let's be a little creative whenever you move over to the next platform, whichever one that you choose. So make sure you do that. Lost Ranger says the Aggs cannot catch a break with the coaches. He's a battered Aggie fan right now. I'm not okay. I don't think that you Aggie fans should be battered. I think this is a good thing for Texas A&M basketball. And Buzz Williams is a good coach. Mm-hmm. I think that Texas A&M has the resources and the attraction from other big-time coaches. I think that they're going to upgrade. I think they're going to find a better head coach.
So I really think that – I think Brian and I were talking about this before – the show today, and then I was bringing it up to you when you got in, the fact that I just feel like if he's going to – yeah, he got a six-year deal, and he's going to get paid because that's why he jumps to every new job that he gets, and he got a mammoth deal to get 6 years. But the fact is, if Maryland already is talking about, and the coach is leaving Maryland because of the limited resources, the tight budget, the fact that he can't do what he wants to do when he wants to compete for a national title, on the flip side – anybody that's looking to take a step up as an up-and-coming coach would love to have the resources at A&M, from the facilities to the money to everything that's sitting there at their beck and call to use to try and put a winner on the floor. I think they're going to have that and more. And I think from Buzz's perspective, I was always thinking that he was a step behind from where I thought he would be when he took the job in terms of advancing that program.
I have no idea why he left.
We talked about this a little Friday because Granato kind of mentioned it in passing during that Who Said It clip we played, where he said the Aggies administration doesn't like Buzz. I mean, to Joel's point, you're going to a school that reportedly by their old coach wasn't spending money. What basketball wasn't a priority, and Buzz is deciding to go there.
They also don't have an AD.
I know.
He's going somewhere where he doesn't know his boss is going to be.
The Granato thing kind of makes sense. If the Aggies don't want him, maybe this was Buzz getting ahead of the axe.
Maybe Jack Easterby is going to be the new athletic director at Maryland.
That'd be awesome.
That he's got some familiarity.
He and Buzz
are tight. A
little
more south, but yeah, he knows the East Coast. So maybe.
Yeah. I think I was talking to one of the suits upstairs the other day, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I've heard that Buzz might be leaving A&M. Because I think it was Jeff Goodman that tweeted it. Geff Judman. He was saying that if Willard leaves, look out for Buzz at Maryland. So, like, that came to fruition. Hmm. And one of the suits upstairs was, like, a little nervous about it. I was like, I think you guys will be fine. Like, I think you guys will be okay. The funniest thing that could happen is if A&M hires Chris Beard.
Oh, my God.
If they hire Chris Beard, it would be awesome from an outside observer of that rivalry.
Lateral move for Chris Beard?
What's that?
I
don't know. I don't know. Like it's very hard to know what jobs are like better than other jobs because it's no longer the same way anymore. Like there used to be blue bloods, right? Like the UCLA's of the world, the Indiana's of the world, the Kentucky's of the world, mm-hmm. Kansas of the world, and certainly those schools are still blue bloods. But whenever you get down to like Ole Miss and Texas A&M, I don't know. Like is Texas A&M like if of their rev share because rev share starts next year, you can pretty much assign ratios and percentages of how much money you're going to be sending to each program in rev share. You have the NIL stuff going on, too. So, like, I don't know how these coffers are filled at these schools. So I don't know what's a good job compared to another job. If Texas A&M, let's just throw out an arbitrary number, not I don't know anything. Let's say if Texas A&M is spending, you know, $15 million in basketball and NIL and all this stuff, and Ole Miss is spending 10, well, A&M's a better job. But right. What if it's 15 and 30? Well, Ole Miss is a better job, and we're not privy to that information. So we have no idea which job's better than the other.
Plus, when you start talking about the personal side of this, if he has ties or he wants to be in Texas, having been at Texas Tech and at Texas, and he understands, hey, if he doesn't like or if anything with the way he left Texas, and obviously there was a lot that was going on, but the best way to get back and you know, kind of make a statement is to come back again with their arch rivals and come back to a state where maybe he has ties and know that the resources are there for him to where he might, there might be things too that we just don't know that draws him back to the state of Texas, but he's a damn good basketball coach and they could do a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's interesting. Like you would think that A&M would have more money than Maryland, and they do, but are they committing more money to basketball?
Yeah.
Than Maryland is. I would think that they are. Like, this is a completely uneducated guess, but I believe that Texas A&M basketball has more money and resources than Maryland basketball. Part of this is because Kevin Willard was crying about money and resources. I shouldn't say crying. He was fighting for his program.
Whining, yeah.
So, like, I think I would guess that the Aggies do. Like, the Aggies are one of the top three moneymaker universities in the entire country. Like, they have plenty of donors. They have big money that they can throw around
so
there.
So, on the flip side, I would say that if Beard looks at this and says Ole Miss versus Texas A&M, I would believe that the money allocated for A&M basketball is probably substantially better than what Ole Miss dedicates to their
probably.
Basketball program.
If I had to guess, I would agree with that.
Yeah. And you know, and you got Lane Kiffin on the football side, too. So, I'm sure that, you know, and football's king there, too. So I think that A&M has got, just like you said, the endowment and everything that they have is so great across the board that you would think that from the attractiveness of being able to recruit in the state of Texas and have all the resources that you need and have, you know, the facilities to back it up, it seems like it would be a better job if that's truly what they want, if that's someone that they want to go after.
I have an Aggie acquaintance of mine that threw out the name Shaka Smart.
I thought
about
it.
Go for it.
You don't think,
I thought about
it. You don't
leave
think
Milwaukee.
He would leave Milwaukee,
because
right? That was
he's
my
a
thought.
Wisconsin native, and he's been there to collect.
You don't think he'd leave to go to A&M?
No, because I think that he got to be kind of damaged goods by the way it ended in Texas. And yes, he got paid, but I just feel like he's so passionate about his basketball. Like, the homecoming to come back to the state of Wisconsin and then to keep Marquette and take Marquette to another level, because Buzz was there and had success.
Right.
But then Woj came in after his assistant coaching work at Duke, and he basically did nothing where they expected it. Now he's got the program back. He basically is legendary in the state of Wisconsin right now in terms of what he's done and how he's looked at, to where I think that he can recruit the Midwest and recruit well enough to where he's probably going to have, like Jeremy was talking about, he has a security level. He could probably get more money, and he could probably go back to A&M, but he's got a security level with Marquette that I don't think he would ever have in the next job if he left there.
I'm scrolling through the conversation I had with my Aggie acquaintance, and it actually wasn't Jeff Goodman that said this first. It was Kirk Bowles in the Chronicle.
Oh, yeah,
Kirk
an Austin
Bowles,
American.
Kirk,
yeah.
He did, I think it was at the start of the tournament. He did like crazy predictions, and his crazy prediction, you can go back and find Kirk Bowles' column in the Houston Chronicle. It's dated March 11th.
Wow.
March 11th, he said in his crazy prediction of March or whatever, Buzz Williams says goodbye to six seniors and will not be at Texas A&M next season. Mm. Kirk Bowles went on, like, I mean, this wasn't a report, it was his guess, but he said this on March 11th. So, like, tip the cap to Kirk Bowles. He nailed that one. Nailed that prediction.
I didn't see what Buzz's recruiting class was coming in, but if he's losing six seniors and he hasn't, and because I think he's underachieved based on what they were expecting when he got there, that if your recruiting class ain't great, you're losing six seniors, and you know that the heat's already getting toasty on your rear end,
within the age of NIL, as long as A&M is investing enough, I mean, losing six seniors and maybe not having a recruiting class you're currently, you know, happy with, how much does it matter?
The portal's open.
Yeah. Now, I think it's hard to build a program through the portal. I think it's better to supplement a program.
Sure, but I think you
could
Band-Aid 1 year if you're losing six seniors to make good for the next – or to hold off for the next year.
That's the best decision to do long-term, though.
You also got to have a whole lot of clout and cachet like a Patino to be able to just rebuild a program in your first year there by just diving deep into the portal.
I mean, it could be a coach and it brings all the players. It depends on where they're coming from. But it'll be interesting to see who Texas A&M hires. I do think that they can upgrade there.
I think Beard would be a home run hire if they could pull it off.
Huge.
He's a great coach.
Is there anything that says that Will Wade might have jumped the gun a little bit early on taking the job that he took?
I mean, he got a pretty good gig, though. But that's in basketball country.
With all the resources, again, of A&M.
Do you want to be in the SEC, though?
I think he's a good enough basketball coach, too, that he would do well there.
Like, the ACC was kind of meh outside of Duke this year.
Yeah, I'd rather be a powerhouse there than the SEC. I mean, you're coasting into
Carolina made the tournament and won a game. Maryland made a good run, and you had Duke.
Well, Maryland's in the Big Ten.
I forgot.
I make that mistake all the time.
That's my bad. You're right. Yeah, if you want to just succeed and win the conference, that's one thing, or at least compete for the conference. But now, and you got Wade at NC State now because he took that job. But if that's the best you're going to get? But in terms of resources, when you know that if you go to A&M, you're going to have everything at your beck and call.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It'll be interesting to see what the Aggies do. I'm rooting for them to get a good coach, though. Lamont says, why are we ignoring the obvious? A&M's going after Samson. They'd be smart if they did. But, Lamont, you have lost privileges of talking to the Killer Bees today. You can no longer tweet, text, call the show. You're done for the day,
Lamont.
You're done for the day. 713-780-3776. We'll talk to David Shoemate of Duke.
It could be enough to get Kelvin another raise.
Yeah. Don't talk. Why are we talking? Because
Lamont
brought it up. The eve of the Final Four.
All right, sidebar, Joel. What percentage chance is it?
Oh, he ain't leaving.
Okay.
But I think there's a good percentage chance he gets another raise.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think he's leaving.
He deserves one.
He absolutely does.
Pay the man whatever he wants. Give him a blank check, Tillman. Not me. Tillman.
After Tillman backed out, he's not on the board anymore.
That was a rumor.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
Because if he gets approved for his government job.
He's going to be the ambassador to Italy, right?
One other country or something.
But you can still donate money without being on the board. But I heard that was not true yet.
Okay.
But I heard that it wasn't. But still, donate the money, Tillman. It's your pocket. I'm not trying to put my hand in,
his name's
wallet
on the building. You got to make it look good inside.
Pay
right?
Whatever he wants. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Got sidetracked there, but that's okay. 713-780-3776. Let's talk more about these Stros. Their offensive struggles yesterday. Also, the lineup is out today. And a curious thing today, based on what we saw yesterday. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Bomb. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
King's asking, will the switch to YouTube fix the signal? Depends on what the clouds are doing, King at Twitch.
Don't listen anyway. I mean, if you listen, the best way you get the signal is right there on the internet.
Alex has made the move from Twitch to YouTube. If you're just joining us, we're phasing off of Twitch. By the end of the month, we're going to be strictly on YouTube and on Twitter at ESPN 97.5. Blankers, have you won a championship lately?
I know.
I am a champion. I just found out moments ago that I am a champion. Brian, have you won a championship lately?
Yeah, college football 25.
Okay, non-video games.
No.
With your hands, with something that you physically did.
I mean, I had to hold the controller.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to call the plays.
Interesting. Oh, wow. You don't do the Ask Madden thing?
No. That's no.
I was playing, I might smell, Blankers, I'm sorry, but I was over there playing in the Captain Renaud Foundation, the golf tournament they do for the former firefighter who lost his life in battle, he and three others, and great cause for the Houston Fire Department and the Renaud family.
The
59, and people.
The hotel fire?
Uh-huh. Yeah, back in 2013, they started a fund, and this fund, it gives financial assistance to, families that have had firefighters that have been hurt on the job or unfortunately lose their life on the job. And my stepdad's a fireman at Houston Fire Department. And he asked me to play golf with him today, earlier this morning. That's why I might stink. And your boy, you might not think this by looking at this unbelievable physique, but your boy's the long drive champion. Long drive champion.
Damn, 225 held up.
299, baby. 299. Down slope, hit the cart path. 299. 299. It might have been further than 299. I don't know. But, yeah. How much of that
is in the air versus
I hit it. I flush it. I can hit the ball pretty far. I do not keep it straight. I am all over the place. I am as sporadic as it gets.
Slicing, hooking, but it goes far.
Every now and then, once every blue moon, I'll catch one just right that's straight as an arrow. And I did. Down slope. I think it hit the cart path. And your boy's a long drive champion.
Oh boy.
Won a rangefinder.
That's a good prize.
Won a rangefinder.
That's a really good prize.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the worst thing is you win a long drive and they give you a driver and you're like, if my driver's good enough to win the long drive, I'm probably not changing my driver.
I should be doing the booms. How many booms is that? That's three booms. Boom, boom, boom. Guns. You should look into that, by the way. The Captain Renaud Foundation, though. CaptainRenaudFoundation.org. Great cause. It was a great time playing out there today. Thank you to my stepfather for having me out. And then, your boy win a championship. It's not every day one of us wins a championship. When's the last time you won a championship? 95?
No. When softball.
Okay. There you go.
Coaching softball, we won a couple.
Yeah. Brian has never won a real-life championship. Sticks to the screens.
Title's a title.
Title's a title. All right. Enough bragging. And I never do that. I never brag, but I figured it was a worthy cause. Need to try Burger Bodega. I've heard great things about Burger Bodega. They do some NIL with Houston, too, U of H. I do need to get over there and try that. I have not tried Burger Bodega. Texter says some burger in Baytown is top five.
What is it?
Some burger in Baytown is top five.
It's not bad. I haven't had it in 15 years, but it wasn't bad.
The problem of eating some burger in Baytown is you have to be somewhere in Baytown.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The one I don't know if it's still in the same location. They have multiple.
We're going back?
No, well, I'm there a lot. Baytown, I'm there a lot.
Oh, because softball, of softball?
So yeah. There's a chance.
We'll go to Sunburger then.
Yeah. I think it was the one I went to, I think it was off Garth Road. But it was, it's not a desirable area that I want to be in. I definitely don't want to drive all the way to Baytown.
You should, Blankers, whenever you're out there for softball, meet up with the Baytown baddie at Sunburger and have chop it up.
Nope.
Have a cheeseburger, chop it up. Why not?
Because I don't know him.
You guys know
him. Great time to get to know him.
You guys know him.
Try JLB Burger on Stella Link. Actually, my parents put me on JLB Burger. I've not tried it, though. They say it's fantastic. Bex Prime is the best burger in Houston. That's an obvious troll. Tukey's and Kima. Tukey's, I have had that. That is fantastic. Stanton City, I know you do. Stanton City Bites is fantastic as well. Texter, it's great to see college athletics excellence represented on the show with Branham's Cougars making it to the Final Four and Joel's UW lacrosse women's swimming and diving team making it to the D3 championships. Is that true?
Man.
I don't know. I don't know. And I don't care, to be honest with you.
That's awesome.
You should be repping
their
gear.
Their track teams have been great for like decades, and their football team made the championship game, I think, 3 out of 4 years, but they're not bad.
If Samson wins the chip, do you think he retires completely? He said something to the media the other day that he was coaching next year.
I saw he said, I thought it was a couple years.
I don't remember the exact quote, but he alluded to the fact that he will be coaching.
Plus, he's got a hell of a recruiting class coming in.
He does. Number two in the country right now. Can the Stros switch their broadcast to YouTube? I swear they're using dial-up. The clarity's terrible always. When will they upgrade to the cameras or broadcast technology? I've not noticed that. I've not noticed their low quality on the shin. Have you?
That might speak to the internet quality of the person watching.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
Yeah, if the picture's fuzzy, that might be your internet connection.
I tweeted that I did not like the game camera angle in Indianapolis for your guys' games. It was not good, and the clarity was not good. But I have not noticed the same, because you know me, I'm a snob about the video stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I've seen any difference in the shin or anything that I would complain about.
I haven't either. I didn't notice that. The high camera.
And they're trying to implement some more cameras. They're trying to implement the kind of the NFL version of the flying camera over the top on the wires.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But I just,
7433, you got to laugh out of me, but I'm not reading that text. Guess what, Brian? We don't want your bougie behind in Baytown. Stay out of Baytown, Brian. Your bougie.
That's fine. I worked there for a couple years. I have no desire to go back.
Damn.
Texture, I don't think Beck's Prime was a troll. It's a really good burger. It was definitely a troll. I know that 100%. Is Clint Sterner, who y'all refer to, as Baytown baddie? He's a Baytown legend, isn't he, Nathan, in Mount Bellevue? Yeah, that is who we refer to as the Baytown baddie. I get along with Clint. Clint and I are friends. I send him a text when he has babies and like, hey, congrats. So like,
doesn't
we're
tight. Friends.
I'm pretty sure we're friends. Like if I text you, congratulations on the birth of your child.
And that's the only time you text him?
That's more than I do for my friends.
Okay, fair. Yeah. And I don't think you texted me. Well, now I'm learning more about a relationship.
I like Clint more than I like you.
Yeah, you didn't text me when I had my daughter.
Yeah, Clint and I get along fine. Busta's Burger. I like to make fun of them, though, because it's fun. Busta's Burger in Crosby. They just opened a spot somewhere in Houston. That sounds good. I love Crawfish Shack in Crosby.
I'll be out in Crosby on Friday.
You'll all be out in Dayton. That's pretty
well,
close.
Crosby and Dayton are
they're neighbors.
Yeah, they're neighbors, exactly.
Blankers.
They sent some food over.
Blankers, if we're in the same softball tournament in Baytown, Sunburger on me, says Alex.
Okay.
Alex going to buy you a little Sunburger.
You
How
go.
About that?
I ran into some listeners in the last time we were in Baytown 2 weeks ago, and we were in Pearland too, that some of the other coaches listened to the show.
Really? Mm-hmm. It's good for, they have good they have good taste in radio.
Yep.
Rodeo Go Burgers are goated. Those are very good. And then better Baytown quarterback, Drew Tate or Clint Sterner. I saw Drew Tate. I didn't see Clint Sterner play at Baytown.
Where did Drew Tate play?
He played at Baytown Lee.
I mean, after that.
He played at Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah.
That's where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah, he wasn't a great college quarterback. Oh, okay. He was unbelievable in high school. He played for
Chuck Long.
He played for Dick Olin. I think Dick Olin was his stepdad.
Chuck Long might be the best Iowa quarterback of all time.
Really?
And that ain't great.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great. Yeah, I saw Drew Tate play a lot. They were in the same district, I want to say, as Humble for some reason.
Yeah, the districts are drawn up weird. That definitely could be possible.
Marco's Pizza is top tier. Okay, We were talking about burgers. We were talking about pizzas. Astros lineup today real quick. It was out a few minutes ago. What's wrong with the Spotters lineup? At Jeremy Brown on Twitter.
I just said you weren't doing it anymore.
That was April Fool's thing. Altuve's back in left field today. Altuve, Paredes, Yordan, Walker, Yiner, Pena, Cam Smith, Rogers, Chaz. Chaz gets the start in center over Myers. Myers looked lost yesterday at the plate. But Altuve back in left, so... Again, hiding him. Hayden Wesneski, though, makes his debut.
Curious.
Excited to watch him.
No song until we see what he does.
No, we give him a song.
Song before he does it? Before he pitches for the first time?
Why not?
Because why not would be if we don't give him a song and he pitches well, then we don't have to give him a song.
I want him to have a song.
The counter to that could be if we give him a song and he's terrible, then we take it away.
Okay.
Yeah. My guy Alex.
Wanna play home on the range just because he's home?
Mm-hmm. We'll think about it. Let's
workshop it. Yeah,
you can have a poll on
that
one.
Let's not jump at the first one there.
My guy Alex said that Olin was Drew Tate's stepdad. I don't know how I remember that. Dick Olin. He had white hair. He was a great high school coach, though. He was a legend in the Golden Triangle area. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's talk to David Schumate, Duke play-by-play guy. He'll be on the call for – he'll be the best play-by-play guy at the Final Four.
I mean, without a doubt.
He definitely will be. We'll talk to Schumate when we return. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. The best human resources and payroll companies, HR&P. Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs, U of H class of 1990. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting your business. He's been doing it for nearly 25 years. Chris Fisher over there as well. He's an Aggie, if you care about that. They have great people at HR&P. Fantastic culture at HR&P. And HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. Your business can be thankful that you use HR&P. Tax season is here. Tax day is coming up very, very soon. You're going to be wishing that you had HR&P around to handle all this stuff for you. HR&P is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HR&P. A little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HR&P will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, it's second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always call someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can attest to that. Anytime I have a question, fire off an email, quick response, easy to understand, grateful. that we use HRP here at Gallup Media. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources, eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back spending your energy in areas that you want, areas to grow your business, expand your business, maybe get on the golf course a little bit more. I don't know. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by the voice of the Duke Blue Devils, David Shumate. David, thanks for you for taking a few minutes to hang out with the Killer Bees on this Tuesday afternoon. What makes Duke so good?
Simple way to start it. Thanks for having me on. No, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways you could go at it, but to me, the thing that stood out for this team all year long is their depth, their versatility, and primarily their length. I mean, I think a lot of times in basketball, we get caught up in talking about height, and that's certainly the case when you got a guy like Malawach, who's at 7'2", and Cooper Flagg sitting there at 6'9", but it's their length and how they can get in passing lanes, how they can defend, and obviously clog things up inside and create pressure on the perimeter. It's a very, very good defensive team that's obviously one of the longest teams in the country. That's what stands out the most to me.
David, I'm interested. This is a rematch of a very heated battle in the tournament. Previously, the scrimmage has connected these two teams together prior to that, and I know Shire's talked about that. But when you look at a team like Houston as a formidable opponent for Duke, what stands out to you, other than from our perspective, watching them all the time, in terms of what Duke has to be prepared for to deal with?
Well, I mean, I think that the certain one of the things that jumps out of just looking at the sheet is the age, right, and the experience that a lot of these guys have. And it looks very similar to the roster that Duke saw last year in the Sweet 16, and you mentioned the scrimmage as well. So all of that experience is incredibly valuable. And then the grit and the toughness with which Houston plays, and obviously you know they're incredibly well coached with Kelvin Sampson at the helm. And I do think this year you guys saw it much closer than I have, but I do think this Houston team is a step ahead of where last year's team was offensively, which is scary because they're just as good defensively.
David Shumate joining us on the HRNP guest line. When you read about Cooper Flagg, you hear a lot of the buzzwords, generational talent, best freshman since, whoever you want to throw into the mix. It's amazing to me that he reclassified, and he should be a high school senior. Mm-hmm. What do you think makes him so unique versus all of the other great freshmen you've seen over the years?
It's what he does combined on both ends of the floor. I think, you know, we've seen players that come through here that can dominate the game, and Duke has certainly had a bunch of those guys recently when you think about Zion Williamson and Paulo Banchero. And Cooper can certainly do that, but he's willing to do everything you need on the defensive and the offensive end. You guys know, I imagine a lot of people know at this point, he leads Duke in scoring, rebounds, assists, block shots, and steals. And as you said, he just turned 18 in December. It's pretty remarkable how he can control the game on both ends of the floor and doesn't necessarily have to do it by scoring 20 or 30 points a night. He can do that, but he gets other guys involved as well, and it just creates such a nightmare defensively for other teams. I mean, take it from that side of things. It's almost impossible to double him because he's such an adept passer and because of the shooting that's around him, whether it be Con Knipple or Tyrese Proctor. I could go on down the list. But he creates so many problems. And then obviously one-on-one, he has the ability to score from the perimeter. He has the mid-range game. He can take guys inside. He's a much improved free throw shooter as the year has gone along. There's just so many different things he can do. And then obviously on the defensive end, he's an elite defender. It's a bit of a unicorn in that respect, the fact that he can impact the game in so many different ways, and it's why a lot of teams have really struggled to match up with him.
How do teams match up with him? Because he's kind of unique, kind of plays the four, but you know, run the offense through him a lot, Shire does. What have you seen teams do against him? They defend him with a four, defend him with a guard? How do teams usually try to attack him on that side of the floor?
Well, I mean, I think what they do is, more often than not, you have to defend him with the four, because even though he has that size, with Malawach on the floor at 7'2", your center's occupied, because if you take that off, you're going to have so many different issues. So teams have been defending him with the four. The problem with the guard is what I talked about with the size and the length. He can just pass over the top of it. So you have to put size up against him, and that's where Duke has had some success with Cooper, and you guys will see it this weekend. At times they'll run basically a 4-5 two-man game and do a ball screen up top with Malawach and Flag, and Duke has gotten a lot of lobs out of that because it's just not something you see terribly often, and that's just one of the many things that they can do. But more often than not, it's been the four that's been defending Cooper just because you need the size to be able to handle him. Otherwise, it just becomes a post-up game with him, and obviously he can do that as well.
I'm interested in your thoughts from a close-up perspective. From a distance, everybody says, oh, Duke just reloads. It's an easy job. But for John Shire to be able to take over for the legend like Coach K, and we see Hubert Davis struggling at Carolina a little bit, and obviously there's a lot of pressure on him because of that program. But what Shire has done to be able to maintain and consistently keep this program where it's at, he deserves way more credit than I think a lot of people give him because of the fact that so many times it's tough to replace a legend.
It's remarkable. I mean, he's tied the record in Division I for wins in the first 3 years as a head coach. And even within those 3 years, it hasn't always been on the straight and narrow. He's had to reinvent himself a couple of different times, won an ACC title in his first year, obviously went to the Elite Eight a year ago. But when that team didn't advance to the Final Four, took a hard look at the roster and decided to retool some things with Cooper Flagg coming in and obviously a talented freshman class. But there was a lot of conversation, I remember this time last year, about the mass exodus from Duke and guys going into the transfer portal and what that meant long term. And it took a lot of belief in himself and the vision he had for this coming team to go and find a guy like Malik Brown that comes over from Syracuse and is an incredible defender, to find a Jim and Theon James that came over from Tulane, and obviously Mason Gillis from Purdue, who played for a national title a year ago, to complement this freshman class and this young group. So they do have the mix of obviously very high-end talent, guys that are probably going to go in the lottery when you look at Flagg, Knipple, and Malawach, with guys who be drafted as well. Isaiah Evans is a part of that freshman class, but also some grit, some experience, some physicality. When I was talking about James and Gillis, it's a really well-constructed roster, and you have to give John Shire a lot of credit for that because there were a lot of people questioning what he was doing this time last year, and it certainly paid off.
I think the other story that's worth you kind of giving your perspective on is Tyrese Proctor. Everybody talks about the three freshmen that are going to be in the first round of the NBA draft. Everybody talks about, you know, a lot of the different things with Coach Shire and the way this team has progressed. But I think that Tyrese Proctor has been the huge X factor for this team all season long, and he's a hell of a story along the way.
There's no question. And this team doesn't formally have any captains, but to me, he is a clear leader for this team. And we talked about earlier Cooper reclassifying, Tyrese reclassified. Earlier to come to be a part of John Shire's first season. And the head coach, when the team was in Raleigh after they beat Baylor, kind of broke down at the podium thinking about Tyrese and the chance that he took to come here early to be with John Shire. And kind of a similar story. It hasn't always been straightforward for Tyrese. There have been some up and downs that you would expect for a young player, but he stayed with it. And not that there's anything wrong with guys going in the portal and doing what they need to, but in some respects, it's something to be celebrated. A guy that's been in Durham for 3 years, and you know he knows, and he had to hear about it all offseason that last year in the Elite Eight against NC State, he went scoreless, and then he has 17 against Alabama in the Elite Eight win the other night, kind of a full circle moment for him, and he caught fire from three in the postseason in the ACC tournament, and obviously in Raleigh and been a huge piece of the puzzle, but he's a calm, steadying influence, and the other thing he brings to the table beyond the emotional and the story side of it, he's an elite perimeter defender, and I don't think that gets talked about enough with him of what he can do on the perimeter in terms of shutting down the opposition. And, you know, that win against Alabama, Sears had gone off the night before, or two nights before, I guess I should say, against BYU, and he finished that game 2 of 12 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3 in just 6 points. I know a bunch of guys got involved, but Tyrese Proctor had a huge hand in that.
That length, too, makes him such a problem on that defensive side. David, thanks so much for the time. Have a great call Saturday night in San Antonio.
Appreciate it, fellas. We'll see you this weekend.
You got it. David Shumate, the voice of the Blue Devils, breaking down the matchup. When are we going to get the Houston play-by-play guy on?
Brian? I don't know. I don't have his number.
You handle our booking. We got the Duke radio guy on. When are we going to get the Houston radio guy on?
Yeah, I don't have a connection. I heard that guy doesn't send out congratulation texts to his
producers. Certainly doesn't answer your calls.
Yeah. No, he doesn't answer my calls.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. We're going to talk Rockets-Lakers. If you have Rockets-Lakers talk or thoughts, you can share them with us. We'll read the good ones on the air. 713-780-3776. Rockets fall in L.A. yesterday. How big a deal really was that? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5. 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right